to welcome Jane to preach to us. Jane is from India, from Calcutta, and he is an ambassador for compassion. I've heard him once this morning. I'm pretty excited to hear him second time and third time today. So Jane comes with his wife, Naomi, who are traveling, and he brings to us a really great but very challenging word. Would you give him a warm seat's welcome?
Well, thank you very much. It's great to be here. This is my favorite town in the whole world. Aberfoyle? Aberfoyle. My favorite town in the whole world. It's great to be here today. Thanks for the warm welcome. I'm from a country called India. Has anyone heard about India before? Yeah, raise your hand if you've heard about India. Some of us have, okay? Some of you haven't. Let me help you with that. You know, when you go home, turn on your computer and then type in the best cricket playing country in the world. Then you'll know all that you need to know about India. The land of cricket and curry. But yeah, this morning is great to be. I'm here on behalf of Compassion Australia, and I just really want to say thank you for what you do as a church. I know you sponsor children different parts of the world, and it's also great to hear from Jonathan and speaking to other people what you do in your community here. So, you know, bringing Jesus to your Jerusalem, your Judea, and to the ends of the world. So I just wanted to look into a bit of scripture this morning, and this is Paul's prayer that he writes this letter to the church, and he prays this prayer, and this is my prayer for us, the body of Christ here this morning, and I just want to speak from there a little bit. So I'm just going to read it from Ephesians 3, chapter 16, and it says, "I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all Lord's holy people. And you will grasp how deep, how wide, how long and high the love of Christ is. And to know that this love that surpasses all knowledge will fill, you'll be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." What I want to share this morning is God's goodness and get an understanding of this love that surpasses all knowledge. Because he is able to do immeasurably more than we can ever ask or imagine. He's able to do immeasurably more, not by our power, but through his power that is at work within us. I just want to share some stories of God's goodness with you to see how God works and how he does incredible stuff in our life through his body here on earth, his church. I want to share a story of a girl from India as well, a girl called Shamina. Now, here's a 101 Indian names lesson. Can you say with me, Shamina?
Shamina.
Amazing. You guys are great. You can speak Indian. So Shamina was born in a village in extreme poverty, into abject poverty. Now, some of you might have seen what abject poverty looks like or might have heard it from friends or seen it on telly. To give you a little bit of an idea, you know, today after church, when you go home, if you've got food to eat, if you've got a bed to sleep on, if there's running clean water when you're thirsty, if there's electricity in your home, raise your hand. All of us. Shamina was born in an environment where they had none of these. Extreme poverty lacked the basic needs for survival. She didn't have a safe place to call home. There was no schools, there was no hospitals, there was not always food when they were hungry. So if you're a kid in that community, if you're a boy, you work in the farm to earn money for your family. If you're a girl, you learn how to cook because as soon as you're 13, 14, you get married. not because that's what you want from life, but poverty takes away choices. Shamina was married when she was 14, and she had two children by the time she was 18. She was looking after two kids before she was an adult herself. But God had some different plans for her. You know, in the Bible, in Jeremiah 29:11, God says, "I know the plans I have for you, plans of hope and purpose." And he has a plan for each one of us, whether you come from my favorite town, Aberfoyle, or from the slums in India. He has a plan for each one of us. And he did some incredible stuff in Shamina's life. Do you want to hear from her what God did? Well, I don't have her here with me. But I do have the next best thing. So I'm going to show you a little video. And from the video, you're going to hear Shamina telling her story.
While I was playing with my friends, I learned I was getting married. I didn't know the man. I had never met him. Suddenly, I was married and I moved from my remote village to the city of Kolkata with my new husband. Almost a year passed by and then suddenly I found out I had a child inside me. We didn't have any money and I didn't understand what it meant to be pregnant. When my son was born, we lived in a slum. We had a small house with no electricity. My husband had no job and we had no money at all. Every parent wants to give good things to their child. But we couldn't even dream about that because we had nothing. We couldn't provide properly for our son when he was born. We watched other children going to school in their smart uniforms, and we dreamed that one day that would be our boy. We hoped that our son would become educated and make a difference, but we knew we could not make this happen for him ourselves. When we heard that our son had got into the project and had a sponsor, we knew that someone would help him with food, clothes, education, everything. It took a huge burden off our shoulders. Janay was able to help his sister with her education. And the gifts and supplies received helped meet the needs of the whole family. I'm so very happy. With the support of Compassion, this boy from the slums has been able to get a master's degree from Manchester University. There are many children in Kolkata, but then my son, with his background, has achieved so much. Makes me so proud to be his mother.
Thank you. You know, some of you have already realized I've been telling you my mom's story. Shamina is my mother. I've got a photo of my family. I know it's hard to believe. I'm the same boy. I've had way too many cakes since the video was shot. That's my mom on my left and my sister on my right and my beautiful wife on the extreme right, Naomi. You know what you're thinking. She's one blessed woman, isn't she? I'm only joking. But I was born in a slum community in Calcutta, India, a community of refugees who many years ago lost their homes. And my grandparents lived there, my parents lived there. But God did something incredibly, immeasurably more in our lives through his church, through the ministry of compassion. He brought hope into our life. I was born in this slum where there was about 10,000 people, and there was two toilets and one tap for the entire community. Can you imagine every day like that? It's a picture of a typical home in my slum. You know, the house I grew up in is smaller than the bathrooms I get to use here in Australia. It's about 6'5", 8 foot in area. And, you know, two toilets was obviously not enough for all the people. So men, women, girls, boys, people of all age used open drains and garbage areas toilet. One of the first things poverty does is it takes away dignity from life. And when it rained, our community would get flooded, and there would be not just rainwater in our homes, there'd be sewage and feces floating around. Malaria, dengue, diarrhea. People suffered, people died from those diseases. Children died from those diseases. There was no money to go to the doctors. Life was very different as a child back home. You know, you see suffering, you see starvation, and it makes you feel very hopeless and scared, because I didn't know what my tomorrow holds. And I knew very well that this was going to be my life. There's no way that I can change my circumstances. But God has different plans. And as it turns out, his plan for us, for my family, for my community, was his people. A local church that was planted by a couple of missionaries from South India. They came and they started this church. It was only a small church of 40, 50 people. But they saw the need that was there in this slum right next to them. And they wanted to help us. They came to our families. They told our parents, we want to educate your children. We want to provide food so you don't go hungry. We want to help you to go to the doctors when you're ill. So they partnered with Compassion. And that's how Compassion works. Compassion is a ministry that serves the children living in extreme poverty in Jesus' name and releases them from that. So Compassion partnered with this local church and came to our community, and hundreds of children were sponsored. Some of you sponsored children. You know, 22 years ago, I was on a piece of paper like this, and a couple called Tom and Liz Whitman decided to sponsor me. In fact, my project staff said I was the first child who found a sponsor. I don't know why. It's probably because I was an incredibly cute-looking boy. That's what my friend says, and I don't disagree. But this couple sponsored me, and that changed our future. You know, I was the first child in a community of 10,000 people to go to school. Obviously, I was not the only child who was sponsored. Hundreds of other families stepped forward, and many, many children were sponsored. But one of my fondest memories of my childhood was teaching my parents how to write their names. It must be the other way around here. But education brought dignity to our life when my father didn't have to put a thumbprint, but he could write his name to get his wage. Yeah, one of the exciting days was when our uniform pack arrived. You know, when you sponsor kids, your money directly benefits your child and that family. So it pays for the school and uniform and books. And my dad was all excited. First time in someone in the family will go to school, he ripped it open and took out my school shirt and trousers and then pulled out this rope, and he was confused what to do with it. He went back to the project and he found out that was the school tie. And he's never done a tie, so they gave him a tie with a hook. Do you get that here? Yeah. Yes. The first couple of years I went to school with a tie and a hook. I've got a little picture of me starting school. Evidence of me being an incredibly cute looking boy. But if I'm standing here and telling you going to school as a five-year-old kid was the most exciting thing in my life, I'll be lying to you a little bit. The thing I was most excited about was going to the project. When I say the project, it's the church, you know, a safe haven created in the church for kids to come in. I loved going there because they served big portion curry and rice. And I'm an avid food lover. I love food. Look at me. coming to Australia, I have discovered pavlova. It's the best invention ever made. You know, the sweetness of meringue and passion fruit and mango. God bless the Kiwis. I'm not going to get involved in that debate either. But our nutritious needs were being met. It was a huge burden off our parents' shoulder, and there was medical care and hygiene supplies. And the fact that I'm alive in front of you when I had malaria and dengue, the fact that a lot of my friends are still alive, it's because a family chose to sacrifice from their daily life. And I went on to go to university and study business. And as you saw in the video, I graduated in 2014. That's what compassion does. They take a child from when they start school, and they take them through, and the end of school, they give them life skills, vocational training or college or university, whatever they need to be able to find a job and be able to provide for their family. So it's not just about feeding the hungry. It's about teaching the hungry how to feed themselves. A lasting difference. Sometimes a lot of sponsors are able to journey through that whole time. Sometimes for people, financial situation changes, but compassion always find a sponsor for their child, so the child never misses out. Once they start school, they go to the end. And I went to university, and I studied business to create employment opportunities in my community. When I graduated, my mom came over, and I took my certificate, I gave it to her, and I said, "This is your achievement for how you lived life and for all the sacrifices you have made." Some of you are parents here or grandparents. You make sacrifices for your children as well. So did mine. My dad would pretend he was too full and would ask me, "Do you want to finish my rice?" And I never blinked. I just polished it straight away. My mom would give her blanket so we are not cold at night. All parents make sacrifices. So my mom was in tears all day, and she said, "As parents, we have hopes and dreams, but I'm grateful to God that I get to live mine. I'm grateful to God, and I'm thankful to Tom and Liz for what they did for us. He didn't just come alongside a child in need. He came alongside some very desperate parents who were trying their best to provide for their kids, but their best was just not enough sometimes. But the best thing that, Tom and Liz did was not putting me through school or getting me to eat lots of curry and rice at the project, although that was right up there. But when you sponsor kids, this child gets connected to this church project. What it means is immediately they are exposed to learning and knowing about Jesus. I come from a non-Christian family, and for the first time I heard about Jesus in the project. And I would go home and I'd tell my dad, God created us, and he says he created us in his image and he loves us and he wants to have a relationship with us. My parents saw how these Christians from this church lived, and they were living sacrificially to care for us who we were not even related to. And they were captivated by this God, Jesus, and his followers who lived like this. So they went to church and said, "We want to know more about this God." And very soon, my parents came to faith and they got baptized, and my whole family actually came to faith in Jesus. And that was the best thing that Tom and Liz did, was give us an opportunity to know about our Creator. Because there is only one lasting hope, and there's only one person who brings that, that's Jesus. It changes your life forever, not just for now, but for eternity. They also invested a lot of time in writing letters and stuff. You write letters to your sponsor kids. Thank you very much for that. It means so much. When you live in poverty, no one says you're loved or you're cared for, you're thought of. And then when those letters come through, Tom said, "Johnny, I love you. I believe in you. I believe you can work hard in school and do well. Your background doesn't need to decide your future. It gives you impetus to dream big. It gives you encouragement to believe in yourself." So I'm grateful for all those words he's written. I would often go back to them when things were hard. When I finished university, one of the first things I wanted to do was sponsor children myself. And in fact, I'm very passionate about helping people in poverty because I believe poverty is injustice. You know, there is enough in this world that if we share and live generously, live like what God calls us to be, that there's no need for children to die because there's no food. There's no need for people to die because they can't access medical care. So I wanted to help everyone. I found out there are 400 million children in the world today who live in extreme poverty. 400 million. That's 16 times the population of Australia. 400 million children who today won't have the option to choose whether they want soup or they want pasta or pizza later. Or they want to go to school tomorrow or call it a bunk day. Or have safe water to drink when they're thirsty. And that's injustice. But very quickly I got overwhelmed because I couldn't help all 400 million children. How often we get overwhelmed by the enormity of the challenge in front of us. Sometimes we fail to remember that God is sovereign. And so I thought I won't change the whole world. I'll do all that I can to change the whole world for one life, for one child. So I started sponsoring this little girl called Shankari. There's a picture of her. My wife and I, we started sponsoring her, and we went to visit her and see where she lives. And I've got a picture of her home. Her family lives in abandoned drain pipes. There's hundreds of families in that community who live in abandoned drain pipes. And it's just, I just thought to myself, you know, I had a challenging childhood, but there's always someone who is much worse than what I'm going through. And it's an immense privilege for me to be her sponsor, you know, be what Tom and Liz was to me, to be able to create the same opportunities for her to have education, food, for her to know Jesus and who she is in Jesus. But one of the things I thought I'm going to be able to change her life, but what I've realized in the due course of time that how God has blessed me and changed my life through that relationship. God can do immeasurably more, not just through you, but in you. You know, my wife one day looked at me and said, you know, we would try to work out. I'm a bit of a maths person. I like numbers. I was like, okay, I was giving her $48 a month to sponsor her. That was about, it needed a sacrifice of a cup of coffee and a cake each week. I love cakes. So it was a bit of a sacrifice for me to start with. I'm like, cake, one cake each week? But my wife looked at me and she said, you need to sacrifice more than one cake. So we now sponsored 3 children. That's a different story. She never said that. I'll be in the sofa tonight. You know, but it's an immense privilege to be a blessing for what God has already done in my life. So I just want to say 2 things. First, I want to say thank you for your generosity. Your generosity that you show to your people here, to your community here, and to a community across the borders. Whenever you do something for the least, you do it to him. Thank you for bringing Jesus in some of the darkest places. Thank you for bringing the gospel in action. Thank you for all the children you support and sponsor. The thing I want to finish with is, I've got here with me 25 kids who have been waiting to find a sponsor for a long time. This little girl, she's been waiting about 300 days. The profiles are all at the back of the compassion stand. Please, you can come pick up a profile and read. This represents an individual life. You can find out where she is, about her family at the back, you know, where she lives and stuff. If you want to sponsor her, don't just pick up the profile and walk home, because we only have one copy. This child is only available here, so I don't want you to kidnap them. You just speak to us. There's a little form you fill up, and we'll set that up for you. I want to ask you, can you sacrifice a cup of coffee and a cake each week? Maybe for some of you, you have to sacrifice one more cup of coffee and cake. You already sponsor kids. Thank you for that. Is there room for another one in your family? You can be creative how you do it, for your families to get involved, for your kids to get involved writing letters, for grandparents to do it on behalf of grandchildren, you know, for young people to share it with your friends, because sometimes we can't give a $48. But if you can, sponsor a child today, or maybe sponsor 2 children or 3. If each family takes up a child, I won't have to go home and tell everyone you still need to wait for a few more days. But I just want to say a huge thank you for generosity you already show. Just want to finish with this word of prayer for us, and then the band will come up and do their thing. This was Paul's prayer to the church. To him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be the glory in church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.